the unpleasant side effects. So by the end of the commercial, I don't know about you, but I find myself sitting there saying, why would anyone try to take this? Right? It's the fine print sometimes that scares us and that holds us back. Now our gospel today actually seems to start out with some fine print. And what struck me as I was reading through it this week was this: when Jesus says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. What do you hear in those words? It got me thinking about that Lent is about to start. And so inevitably, we're going to hear questions about, well, what are you giving up for Lent? What will you do to deny yourself during this season of reflection? Will it be chocolate? Ice cream? Maybe an extra cup of coffee? I once had a woman tell me that she was going to give up complaining for Lent. She was thinking her voice was going to get a nice rest. Sometimes you hear people talking about doing something positive during Lent. Maybe looking for volunteer opportunities, praying more, being nice to strangers, showing their love for their family a little more openly. Sometimes we think of taking our cross as putting ourselves out for others. Doing our best to follow God's commandments maybe a little more closely. But for the disciples, when they heard these words, it probably meant something a little bit different. Because the disciples lived in the shadow of crosses. But those crosses were not like this one. They weren't symbols of Jesus' death and resurrection. They were symbols of humiliation and death. So when they heard Jesus telling them they were going to have to deny themselves and take up their cross to follow him, they would have been afraid. They would have been confused and uncertain. Now, they've been spending a lot of time with Jesus. And even though we know from reading the Gospels that sometimes the disciples seem to get what's going on and who Jesus is, sometimes they don't. But they're starting to feel like maybe this is the Son of God. Maybe this Jesus is the Messiah. So why is he talking about taking up a cross then? It doesn't make any sense. But Jesus is talking about it because he knows it's coming to the time in his ministry when he's going to be going to Jerusalem, he's going to be going to the cross, and there's going to be trials for the disciples as well. So he's trying to get them prepared. And not only is he getting them prepared, but he also realizes that he needs to do something to help them get through the difficult days ahead. So he takes Peter, James, and John. You notice he doesn't just take one disciple. He doesn't just take Peter, who's going to be the rock that'll build his church on. He takes three disciples with him. Because what's coming and the difficult days ahead are not things that can be done alone. They'll need each other. And he takes them up on a high mountain. And mountains are associated with God's presence. Even today, we'll talk about mountaintop experiences, something amazing, something out of the ordinary that might happen to us. And sure enough, once they're up on the mountain, something does happen. Jesus' face starts to shine, his clothes start to dazzle, and suddenly Moses and Elijah, two of the great prophets in the Hebrew scriptures, appear with him. This was not an ordinary occurrence. And we can trust that because Peter's there, something's going to come out right away. Because Peter's always impulsive. So he recognizes right away, this is something incredible. This is something special. So what does he do? He says, oh, Lord, it's good to be here. How about if I build three dwellings for you all, and we can all just stay here together? Let's just preserve this moment. And why does Peter do that? He does it because it's good to be on the mountain. It's good to be in God's presence where we feel safe. It's much better than where the disciples have come from, down off the mountain. And it's much better than where Jesus has been talking about where they're going. There's no crosses up there for them on that mountaintop. So Peter's offer makes a lot of sense. And don't we all like to have safe places in our lives? Places we can go to when we need comfort. What are your safe places? I started thinking about this, and I remembered when I was growing up in Astoria, the grandmother of one of my friends lived in the building next door. And I have these memories of going to the grandmother's house after school. She lived up on the second floor, so she was facing the street, but it was always quiet up there because it was the second floor. And she always had jelly donuts. So no matter when you went to Mrs. McKinnon's house, you were going to get offered a jelly donut and something to drink. And I just remember this sensation of the sun coming in the windows and being in that warm kitchen and feeling safe. I don't know how many times I actually ate a jelly donut in Mrs. McKinnon's house, but I do remember clearly that feeling of being safe and just wanting to stay there and enjoy the warmth. And I think that's exactly what Peter's trying to do when he suggests building those dwelling places for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. But before Peter can even finish talking about what he's going to do, a cloud overshadows them, and we hear the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son. With him I'm well pleased." Now we've heard that before at Jesus' baptism, but there's something more this time. So a few extra words. Listen to him. Now the word "listen" in the Greek here is an active word. It's not the same thing as just kind of hearing something and sitting and taking it in. It implies action and response, kind of like when someone gives us instructions, right? When you give instructions to someone, you kind of assume that they are then going to follow those instructions, that they're going to do something in response. That's how they show that they're listening. So I think this is why the disciples respond by falling to the ground in fear. Okay, because they have just heard what Jesus told them, that being a disciple means taking up your cross and following him. So that would be terrifying if they're actually going to listen and do that. Now, the disciples had heard lots of things in Jesus' teaching leading up to this moment. So, for example, the disciples had heard Jesus teaching about how all the structures in the world were going to be changed. So no longer was there going to be a group on the top with abundance and others on the bottom in scarcity. So if the disciples are going to listen to that, it means that they're going to be out there in the world actually working to change those structures. The disciples had heard that it's the narrow gate that leads to life and the wide gate or the easy road that leads to destruction. So if they're going to listen to that, it means that they have to get on the road to the narrow gate. They have to think about the way that God wants them to live in the world, and they really have to make an effort to do that. They themselves had already been sharing the message of the kingdom of God, and listening to Jesus means that they're going to keep doing those same things, even though there's going to be some threats coming their way, even when there's dangerous times. So what does listening to Christ look like for us in our lives? Last year, I attended an event for a Rewarding Potential Scholarship. It's a local scholarship in our area, and it was founded by Paul Alcorn, who's the retired pastor of Bedford Presbyterian Church. And what it does is it raises funds for disadvantaged young people in the district who need a little extra to make college possible for them. So what Pastor Alcorn did was he heard about those students that needed a little extra support, and he listened to what he heard by going out into the community, finding donors, and raising money for those scholarships. was listening to the radio the other day, and there was a story on NPR. Did you know that most of our recycling has been purchased by China historically? I had no idea what happened to the recycling, but apparently most of it was purchased by China. But now, China doesn't need our garbage anymore. So they don't want to buy our recycling anymore. So all the municipalities have to scramble now and figure out, what are we going to do with all this plastic waste? Well, there's a town outside of Philadelphia, a small kind of economically challenged town, and what they're doing is they're burning their recycling. And residents in that area obviously are upset about this because they're concerned about what happens when you burn recycling and all that stuff goes into the air. And in the story, they were interviewing an activist who was really working hard and out there raising awareness of what was happening and the concerns of the people. So the activist had heard the concerns of the people in that community and was listening to them, going out and talking to people in the community, talking to NPR, to try to help the situation. We hear about Lutheran World Relief and all the wonderful things they do to help people around the world. And during Lent, we're going to be listening by gathering together and putting together personal care kits that we'll donate, and we'll learn about the people in the world that we're helping. These are just a few examples of what listening to Jesus might look like in our world. And I'm sure that if we gather together at coffee hour and we ask everyone to share the ways that they listen to Jesus, we'll hear lots of wonderful things. But how much risk does our listening really entail? Is there fine print out there that keeps us from doing more? Jesus calls us to do all of the easy things in caring for each other and to make the world a better place. But carrying a cross is not easy. And Jesus is there with us, ready to give us what we need to take on those challenges. Up on the mountain, when the disciples fall down in fear, remember what Jesus does. He reaches out and he touches them. And he says to them, get up and don't be afraid. Jesus knew there were not going to be any dwellings built on that mountain, and that none of them could stay up there in the safety of that moment. Jesus knew his path was leading to death, but he also knew that on the other side was resurrection. On the other side of the cross is Jesus' body, shining with life. Life that's given to us. Now we need those safe places where we can come in and find comfort. And Jesus is always there with us in the safe places. And sometimes our fears are going to get the best of us. Like Peter, we want to say, it's good, Lord, to be here and stay in our safe place and enjoy the security. But as disciples marked with the cross of Christ, we're called to keep listening to Jesus, to keep moving out into the world, to be part of the kingdom of God. And we know that when we're out there, Jesus will be there to lift us up when we're afraid. So I think maybe this year, if someone asks you what you're giving up for Lent, maybe what we can say is, we're giving up being afraid of the fine print. We're giving up whatever might be holding us back from taking up our cross and following Jesus. We're going to stop playing it safe. And we're going to remember that we're marked with the cross of Christ, and that with Christ, we can overcome all our fears. We're going to listen and step out. I know we'll hesitate, and we won't want to leave our safe places. And I know that we're going to stumble as we go. But I also know that Jesus will be there with us, lifting us up. So listen, God is calling. Amen.
Amen.